Praise God.
Jumping back and forth?
Yes, it is. Yep. Praise God.
And he just pressed the red button to stop it, too.
Okay, very good. Today, we're going to be speaking on the classroom of God. That's the little message today. I had another message that I spent a lot of time on all week, but it got to Saturday afternoon, and I just didn't feel right about the way it was going. And actually, God had given it to me, spoke a phrase, and my wife heard the phrase the same time, and I said to myself, that would be a good message. Then she said it before I said it out loud. So I said, that's it. But then I got to Saturday yesterday and had been doing quite a bit of work with it. But then the Lord just changed and said, you're going to do something different. So that's what I want to be obedient to God. Praise God. You know, the classroom of God. We are, first of all, the master school teacher's pupils. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 32 and the 10th verse. Praise God. I can remember being in school and the things that I was taught there. I wish I would have been a little more diligent in school. But praise God, you and I are glad to be in the classroom of God. Amen. And in Deuteronomy 32:10, he found him, it's talking here about Israel, he found him in a desert land and in a waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him, and he kept him as the apple of his eye. And we coming in, being grafted in into Israel through the new covenant, through Jesus, we come to God, and he found each one of us in a desert land without him, in a waste howling wilderness where there was no future. And he led us about, he instructed us, and he keeps you and I is the apple of his eye. And thank God that you and I are the apple of his eye. You know, usually you give a teacher an apple, but with God, he turns it around and he says, you're the apple of my eye. And the way I suppose that we could give him an apple is our heart. Amen? And just surrender it to him on a daily basis as he gives us the grace to do it, because we know that we can't do it in ourselves. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, please. Let's go to the book of Psalms. And we're going to be looking at the 17th chapter of Psalms in the 8th verse, which says, keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Praise God. Thank God that's a great place to be. As the apple of his eye, being kept by him, and to hide us under the shadow of his wings. That's just such a comforting feeling, because we need it today more than ever. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. We thank him and we give him glory. You know, the teacher will guide you with his eye in the classroom of God. Now, talking about the classroom of God, God the Father, we will call the Secretary of Education or Salvation, the overseer of all. God the Son is the taxpayer of your education, salvation. All of our sin tax was laid on him, and only he could have paid the debt for our sin tax, a tax we could never pay. God the Holy Spirit is the administrator of the curriculum and housed in 66 books. Hallelujah. School doesn't begin in August or September or end in May or June, but it is for life. The life of God in the classroom of God. Praise God. As a pupil of the teacher of life, God the Holy Spirit, I will keep my eye on the teacher. Amen. Praise God. Through the word, Jesus, and that it pleases the Father that all these things should occur. So let's go to Psalm, the book of Psalms once again, which we're in, and let's go to Psalm 33. Psalm 33 and verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy. Praise God. I thank God that as a pupil of His eye, praise God that His love is upon you and I for good, and we can't escape His love. And behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy. I love that verse. It's a beautiful verse. And a verse like that comes to light because Sunday night I was going through a box trying to go through some magazines that we had that we wanted to put out. And I reached in there and I grabbed, unbeknownst to me, one of those letter openers that's kind of square and has a razor in it on an angle. Didn't know it was there. And I managed to cut the tip of my right middle finger off. So the blood was just spurting, and I was in a great deal of pain. And I did it. Sue took me, ran me to the bathroom, tried to put cold water on it. I went through the roof there, and with pain. And so I said, "You got to take me to the hospital." So she drove me to Harris, and I was just, looking to God, and and waiting in the waiting room as I'm bleeding there for them to ask a number of questions and to sign you in. But I realized there's people coming in after me. They didn't look like they were serious, but they could have had more internal problems. So I was able to minister to Judy, who was there with my wife, Sue Ellen, because her father was in there, I believe, with something with his heart. And we were able to minister to her. So I was calm, even though, my finger wasn't in the best shape. And so I went in there, and they worked on me and shot a needle, as I was telling Pastor and Punk, into there, which was great pain. But thank God He got me through, and I'm on my way to healing. And so it'll take maybe a month or so before it heals up. But I thank God, we got to be careful what we reach for. Mm-hmm. Amen. We want to keep our eyes on Him because we can get hurt in the process of doing something if we're not watching what we're doing. And we want to look to the Lord. And we know that our eyes are to be on Him because His eyes are always on us. And He's always looking out for us. Even when we make mistakes, He is there. Praise His holy name. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and verse 9. And we're in the classroom of God today. And we can thank God that we're His students and that we're ever learning because we are turning to Him because we know He has all the answers. Amen. That we seek. He has the answers to life because He is life. Hallelujah. And this is a special scripture for me. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." And I think I mentioned before that this verse, we look at it sometimes and we look at it and it's talking about heaven, if you looked at it that way, which it truly is talking about that. But we know that scriptures can have multiple meanings. And I feel that it's not only talking about heaven, but in the last part where it says that the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him, that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him, I believe that that is for our life here too. Not just for heaven, but that we have no idea the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Praise God. That He has prepared us to be able to minister to others. That He has prepared us to use our talents to His glory. That the things that He's prepared, that it's just continues to get better as we yield to Him. no matter how it looks. And we thank God for that. Now let's go back to the book of beginnings, to Genesis and the 6th chapter and the 8th verse here in the classroom of God. And in Genesis 6:8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Thank God that Noah is a type of the New Testament church that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That in that time, he was a preacher of righteousness, I believe, for 120 years. And there was only, I believe, 5 souls that were saved, him and his family. But the whole deal is that you can look beyond Noah and you can see the rainbow that comes and falls, the promises of God, that later on that you and I found grace in the eyes of the Lord, that He sent Jesus as the ark, amen? The ark of the covenant. And He came to us and we were saved. Praise God. Hallelujah. And in type, and we thank Him for that, that He is good and that you and I have found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Let's go to Psalm 19:18. As we're in the classroom of God this morning. In Psalm 19:18. Oh, I'm sorry. 19:8. There is no Psalm 19:18. Psalm 19:8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank God that as we get into the Word of God, we in our spirit just realize the rightness of the Word, and it's the rejoicing of our heart. And the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And it enlightens you and I and shows us the right way in the midst of a perverse world that works out of the flesh and that is a dog-eat-dog world. We go to God and we keep our eyes on Him no matter what's happening around us, no matter what scandal comes to our nation. There's a lot of scandals right now, but we're not looking at the scandals. Our eyes are on Jesus. Amen? Our eyes are on the blessed hope. And we praise Him and we give Him glory as the day is more and more. You know, you and I are from the Show Me State. And it's not Missouri. It's the state of grace. Praise God. And He has given us grace. And that's what we're going to walk in. Now let's go to Psalm 25. In the classroom of God here. And we want to look at verse 15, Psalm 25:15. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for He shall pluck my feet out of the net. Hey, there's many times when each of us, and we could share that, how many times are we started leaning to old habits or whatever, and God just come along and He said, hold on there. And He brings to us His blessing and said, I'm going to keep you from it. And if our eyes are ever toward the Lord, He shall pluck my feet out of the net. He'll bring me out. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God that He is a God that loves His people so much that He won't allow us to disappoint Him. And many times we do, because we know that we are but flesh. But we know with God's grace that He will save us from ourselves sometimes. And we give Him glory for that. And we give Him praise. Hallelujah. So let's go on to the next scripture, which is right over in the next chapter. Psalm 26:3 in the classroom of God, which says, actually, let's go to verse 2. Because we've all had examinations in class, right? Verse 2 says, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins in my heart. And actually, try means test. All of us have been tested in class, in school. Amen? Mm-hmm. And you get a grade. that goes along with the work that you put forth. But thank God that our grade doesn't go by our own merit. Our grade goes on His merit. Amen? Because He passed the test on Mount Calvary for you and I. And thank God, I would split hell wide open. I go to hell in a handbasket. But I thank God that you and I have been saved from eternal death by He that is eternal life. Amen? Amen. Because He passed the test that you and I could never pass. So we give Him glory and praise this morning. We give Him praise. Hallelujah. And examine me, O Lord, prove me, try my reins and my heart. For Thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in my truth. In Thy truth, not in my truth, I wouldn't win that way. For Thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in Thy truth. And I'm sure if Jack was here, he'd say loving kindness is hesed here. Praise God. And yesterday, Sue Ellen and I, later in the day, we took a ride in the mid-afternoon, and I went over to the Veterans Cemetery there, and Jack's resting place is heaven. But where his body is until it's reunited with the Lord, they put a veteran's plaque there now finally, because there had been nothing there for quite a while. And it was just so nice to see. And the plaque is there. And I remember Jack saying that from time to time, I'm in a good place. Well, Brother Jack, you're in a better place now. Hallelujah. And we all rejoice with that. We know that our sister Linda is in a better place. Amen. Sister Jeanette, Betty Cox, Sister Angela, just Liz Kustra, just many people. I may have forgotten some, God has not. And I praise God that this is real. This is real life. This is for all the marbles. Amen. And thank God that we're on the winning side, because we're at His side. And we'll praise Him forever and ever. Now let's go over to Psalm 34:15. The eyes of the Lord, in the classroom of God here, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. And we're only righteous because of Him. But thank God that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. Thank God that we can cry to Him, and that the eyes of the Lord are upon us, and His ears are open to us. Thank God that they're constantly upon us for good and not for evil. So we want to thank the Lord this morning for that. And turn to, in the classroom of God here, to Psalm 101. Psalm 101 and verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Amen? And praise God that this scripture is in here, and many like it, because none of us want, and actually it says here to turn aside means to get a hold on. We don't want any wicked thing before our eyes. We only want Him before our eyes. Amen? And whatever thing comes after you that might be a wicked thing, we just need to take it to the cross and put it under the blood and allow God to work His ministry, the Holy Spirit, in us. And that's a ministry of victory. Praise His holy name. Yeah. Let's go to Psalm 116 in the classroom of God here in verse 8. Our eyes are on the teacher of life. Amen. And Psalm 116 verse 8 says, For Thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Praise God. Hallelujah, that He has done it. That He is the one that has done it. Praise God. Hallelujah, Eileen. Praise God. You're a teacher here, and today we're talking about the classroom of God. Amen. Praise Jesus. You know, a feller I know said that when he was a boy on his bike, he ran over a snake and he crushed his head. And he beat it with a stick. And with his red ball sneakers, he stomped on it. Now, the snake was already dead, but it still slithered. Now, when I was a boy, my parents raised chickens. And I remember the first time I saw Mama chop the head off a chicken. It flew after me like a chicken with its head cut off. I was so scared as it flew around. You can just imagine a little boy and, you know, just a little guy, and here's this chicken flying at me with no head. And I was just scared. I tell you, it was a scary experience. But hallelujah. In the classroom of God, I recently learned that God doesn't rehabilitate man. He eliminates man. Mm. Turn with me to Colossians, to the book of Colossians, and to the third chapter here in the classroom of God. Colossians 3 and verse 3. And it says, "For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Hallelujah. Praise God. So, getting back to that fellow I knew about and said that when he was a boy and with his bike, he ran over a snake. Ran over the snake's head. Beat it with a stick, and with his red ball sneakers, he stomped on it. Now, the snake was already dead, but he was still slithered. And as I said before, as I was a boy, Mama took the chickens. She raised chickens, her and my dad. Put them on the chopping block. Put his head up there. And I'd never seen this before. Took a hatchet. Chopped the chicken's head off. And the chicken flew all around chasing me. I was scared. But I do know this. That chicken was dead. Yeah. Even though he kept on flying. Mm. And, you know, for whatever gets your goat, go to the sacrificial lamb. Hallelujah. And I know that in Colossians 3:3 it says, "For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God." So that means we're dead. Amen?
Amen.
And you might ask yourself, well, how do we live this new life? Well, I'm glad you asked that. Let's go over to Galatians and to the second chapter and the 20th verse, which says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." Praise God. It's through the cross and no place else that I attain my salvation and my sanctification. And I thank God that I have to go there because there's no other way. Amen? You know, for whatever gets your goat, go to the sacrificial lamb. I'm free, but not by effort, not by self-discipline, but by faith in the finished work of the cross. Here in the classroom of God, the only sin that reunites us with a besetting sin is looking for another way than the way of the cross. The only means for true victory, the way of the cross. I don't fight the sin nature. I can't. I put my faith in Calvary. My eyes are on Him who has won the war over sin. Now let's go to Galatians 3. Galatians 3. And verse, which we're right there, Galatians 3 and verse 21 through 26. "Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture have concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which would afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for we are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. We are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank God that you and I went to Faith High. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we've graduated already at Calvary. We haven't graduated in the sense that we've already attained, but we've graduated on the sense of His merit, that He passed the test that you and I could never pass. Because I could have had a dunce cap on spiritually. But praise God, because of what He did, He has caused you and I to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And we'll thank Him forever and ever for it. So we give Him glory and we give Him praise. Hallelujah. We've graduated. But we're still in the classroom of God because we've work to do here on earth. There's always things to learn. I can remember saying about Ray Kroc that he said, the fellow, the creator of McDonald's franchise. And he said once that, you know, as long as you're green, you're growing. The minute you're ripe, you start to rot. Mm-hmm. And praise God, we want to be growing for God and to continue on to glorify His most holy name. Now let's go to the first chapter of our 1 John. In the 3rd chapter and 4th verse. Let's go over to 1 John. And the 3rd chapter here in the classroom of God. 1 John 3 and verse 4. Praise God. No, 14. I'm sorry. 1 John 3, 14. We know, and we've graduated already, as I said. And how do I know that? Because we have passed in the classroom of God from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Praise God. And we love him because he first loved us, but we know that we love the brethren because love is of God, and it comes from God, and it comes from God at Calvary. And we praise God that He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should have eternal life and should not perish. We praise His name and we'll praise Him forever. And that was always a great thing in school when I heard, oh, you've been promoted to the next grade. Hallelujah. I used to have nightmares that I was still in school. Praise God. Hallelujah. Then I woke up one day and said, hey, I made it, you know. Praise God. But thank you, Jesus, and thank God that we've graduated already because we've passed from death to life. And the proof of that, let's go to the book of Romans in the classroom of God here today. Romans 14 and verse 8. Which says, for whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. Hallelujah. We belong to Him because we have passed from death unto life. And the moment that life on earth ends, life in heaven begins. Amen. Absent in the body, present with the Lord. And we thank Him and give Him glory in the classroom of God because we know that, and it gives comforts to the body of Christ. Praise God. Now, we're no longer a lawman, no more Marshall Dillon. But even though we're no longer under the law as our schoolmaster, in the classroom of God, we're still led by the teacher, the Holy Spirit. Let's turn in the same book of Romans back to chapter 8. Chapter 8 and verse 14, which said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Hallelujah. And the Spirit of God will lead you into all truth. You don't have to be concerned with that. The Spirit of God will bring into remembrance the things that Jesus said. The Spirit of God will always shine upon Jesus. The Spirit of God will shine upon what the Lord wants to do in your life. And He will lead you beside the still waters. Everything that was ever written in these 66 wonderful books was written by the Holy Spirit. Jesus being the Word of God. Is men were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write. And He just lit upon them and flowed through their pen. Hallelujah. Praise God that He is a ghostwriter, the Holy Ghostwriter. Praise God of every book. And we thank Him and give Him glory. We thank the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, no matter how old we get in the classroom of God, we still need to be taught of the Lord. And let's go to the book of John, the Gospel of John. Let's head over to the 6th chapter. Here we are in the classroom of God, and in the 6th chapter of John, in the 45th verse, it says, "It is written in the prophets, and they that shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." I'm going to read that again. "It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." Hallelujah. And they cometh unto the Father because they're drawn by the Holy Spirit. They're drawn to the blood, to the Calvary. Amen? And that's where salvation begins. Hallelujah. And we praise God because of the classroom of God, we get to learn all these things. And in 2 Corinthians, let's go back there to the book of 2 Corinthians. And as you're going there to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 6. "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that we being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." Praise God. In the classroom of God, we have homework. But our homework started where we found home, at the cross. That's where we came home. Because there's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. And thank God that many are finding that room and will continue to find it. As times get tougher, there's going to be a more pure gospel driving people back to the simplicity of the gospel, to the cross. And that's where it all starts. And that is where the Holy Spirit is released from the cross. And then at the day of Pentecost, hallelujah, like a mighty rushing wind, He comes to the believers. But yet they already had the Holy Spirit. And praise God, you don't have to be to receive the Holy Spirit to be saved. But I tell you what, I wouldn't want to walk without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They don't know that the wonderful Holy Spirit. I have been with the Lord some 36 years this December, a full 36 years. And I'm just in the infancy of intimacy, as I said before. And I mean that because I'm finding out more about who the Holy Spirit is, God the Holy Spirit, in a different way these last few weeks, last few couple of months. And just have been so blessed and so inspired by who I'm finding out who He is in a greater way than I ever knew before. So, and I know that He does that with each of us, that as we're in the classroom of God, the Holy Spirit teaches us, as He took on the teaching ministry from the Rabboni, from the Master Jesus, after He left earth and went to heaven. We praise God that He is present here today and everything we do and say in our life that is good is inspired by God the Holy Spirit. And so we thank Him and we give Him glory and we give Him praise and worship to the Father, the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. We give Him glory. Hallelujah. Now, in the classroom of God, as I said, we have homework and we head home to the place that we first came home to. Now, let's go to the book of Acts. Acts, the second chapter. Hallelujah. In verse 47, we're in the classroom of God today. Acts, the second chapter, in verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Do the math. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do the math. The Lord added, as we're in the classroom of God. I thank God that He adds and that He does not subtract. Thank God, because if you take away God from your life, you have nothing. But thank God that He added. Hallelujah. He added to the church daily such as should be saved. Father, we pray that You would add to the church daily such as should be saved. And we thank You for it and give You glory. And we just praise You for it. Hallelujah. So do the math in the classroom of God. He added. And He'll continue to add because He is good. Praise God. You know, in the classroom of God, your attendance is treasured by God. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews. Hallelujah. And let's look at the 10th chapter. And you know this verse. Praise God. Hebrews 10. Let's start with verse 23, and we're going to read through 25 in Hebrews 10. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assemblings of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. But I just wanted to go to 25, but what God is saying there is that there's lots of things. Actually, in Pastor's Fire Bible, is that what you have today, Pastor?
Yeah.
Could you read the footnote under 25 on that?
As you see the day approaching, the day of Christ's return for His faithful followers is approaching. See article on the rapture. As it does, we will increasingly face difficulties, opposition, persecutions, and spiritual deception. Coming together regularly with other believers for worship, Christian companionship, and biblical instruction will provide the necessary encouragement to help each of us hold firmly to faith in Christ. Should I continue?
Yeah, if you want.
It is the plan and expectation of Christ that believers grow in community with each other as we grow deeper in our relationship with Him. Time together with other Christians will be a blessing to God as we worship Him, a blessing to us through our deepened friendships and continued instruction, and a blessing to the world because we will be better encouraged and equipped to spread Christ's message among them.
Amen. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I see that so much now with all the scandals that are going on, how much we need each other. And I thank God that Pastor talked. We don't have where we're under the IRS, because we don't have a special tax exemption, because God told him a long time ago that that wasn't supposed to be. And you can see just this last week how IRS is targeting Christian groups and whatnot, and we probably would have been one of them. But they can't target us because we don't have that exemption. Praise Amen. God. So I thank God for His wisdom on that many, many years ago, and it came to fruition this week. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. In the classroom of God, sometimes you're called to the principal's office. Let's go to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 and verses 3 through 11. We just have a few more scriptures here. Hebrews 12. We're in the classroom of God today. And in Hebrews 12 and verses 3 through 11. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had our fathers of the flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peace fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And that word exercise means train. Praise God. In the classroom of God this morning. And sometimes you need a little help after school. You need a little extra help. Let's go to Psalm, the book of Psalms, and let's go to a famous psalm. And it is Psalm 46. Hallelujah. In verse 1. And sometimes you need a little help in the classroom of God. It says that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Thank God that He's a present help, because sometimes you need Him in a hurry and you need Him to be a right now God. And I thank God that He's a right now God, that the Holy Spirit comes and He floods you in your despair and your distress. He comes to you and I, and He is our refuge and strength. He is a very present help in time of trouble. Hallelujah. And He will always be, because He changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He will always be that. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Psalm 60 in verse 11 as we're in the classroom of God today. In Psalm 60 and verse 11. Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Amen? We could say amen to that. Let's go over in the classroom of God today to Psalm 70. To Psalm 70. And I believe it's verse 5 here in the classroom of God, which says, but I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. Praise God that He is our help and He is our deliverer and He is our soon coming King. I think I need to stop there. Father, we just thank You this morning that You are our teacher in the classroom of God. That Jesus, we learn from You and how You walked on earth. That Holy Spirit, that You live through, that we live through You. We don't live, You don't live through us, but Lord God, we live through You. And we thank You this morning that You are here and You are a present help in a time of trouble. That the Holy Spirit, You shine upon Jesus and Jesus shines upon the Father. And it pleased the Father that all fullness should dwell in the Son. And we thank You this morning that Lord God, You are here and that You are our blessing, that You are our God and You are our life, and that we are frail as men and women, as boys and girls, but Lord God, You are strong. And we thank You this morning that You are our strength and that we look to You and that we find our strength in You. Thank You for dying for us, Lord. Thank You for living in us. In Jesus' name, amen.